Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year.
It's very unusual that we actually get to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Name, which is the feast day that we celebrate today. There are lots of reasons to love this feast day. First, I think it's really funny that in Christian churches we call it the Feast of the Holy Name, because in a Jewish context it would be called a bris, or the Feast of the Circumcision. And I think that we would be a lot less inclined to celebrate the Feast of the Circumcision. But I love the fact that we acknowledge this as a feast day, because it reminds us that Jesus truly did take on human flesh and participate fully in the rituals and the traditions of his Jewish community, including being taken to the temple for the official naming ceremony when he was 8 days old. I also loved this feast day because not only does it give us an opportunity to reflect on the name of Jesus and what that means in our spiritual lives, but it also calls to my mind our own names, how we came to have our names that we are given, and what we might choose them to be going forward. When I was reflecting on my name, I was named after one of my aunts, Aunt Elizabeth, but my mother determined almost immediately that she would call me Libby. I'm not sure why. Actually, thinking about the sermon, I think I'll call my mom and find out why, of all the Betsy, Betty, of all the nicknames, she chose Libby, especially because I was born in the early 70s when Libby's canned fruit was very popular. You probably remember the jingle Libby, Libby, Libby on the label, label, label. So I'm very curious about why, of all the nicknames, I got Libby. My great-grandmother, perhaps because of the canned fruit, but perhaps for other reasons, despised the name Libby and was so upset with my mother for having a nickname for me that she actually didn't speak to my mother for a bit of time and returned the baptismal gown that she had bought for me. So naming is a big deal. It carries a lot of weight. I don't know if any of you are juniors or thirds or fourths, but I know many of my friends have struggled when they had male children, whether or not to have them carry on the name of their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, and what that kind of heritage and perhaps weight might mean in the child's life. So how we come to our names is often a very curious thing. Since we're sort of an intimate crowd here on New Year's Day, in a few minutes, I'm actually going to ask you all to find somebody near you that you don't know and learn their names. Because when we come to know each other's names, just that tiny little bit of information about somebody, it creates a connection and a sense of intimacy that we don't otherwise have. I was realizing this recently with Charlie, my little five-year-old. He's learning how to order food in restaurants. And it's so much easier to help him be brave and to do that on his own when we know the name of the waiter or the waitress. So Charlie can say, "Caitlin, I would like chicken tenders for dinner, please." No, just that simple little connection of knowing a waiter's or a waitress's name, or the name of the person at the post office or in the market, immediately builds some connection and intimacy that we don't otherwise have. I love the Feast of the Holy Name because it reminds us that God gave his son the name Jesus to help us form a connection and a sense of intimacy with God. Before this time, when you think about the Hebrew scriptures, the name of God was a relatively amorphous and difficult concept for the Hebrew people to deal with. You know, initially when Moses is interacting with Yahweh and asks, you know, "What shall I call you? Who shall I say you are?" You get that mysterious, I am who I am, I will be who I will be, I am becoming what I am becoming. YHWH, Yahweh. Not exactly a name that builds connection and intimacy, but one that fosters a sense of mystery and awesome power and transcendence when we think about God the Creator, God the Father. Our Orthodox and conservative Jewish brothers and sisters will actually never utter the name of God or write it. They may write G/D or not at all, because the name of God is so powerful, so awesome for our Jewish brothers and sisters. I feel like sometimes we're fairly casual in uttering the name of God, the creator of the universe, of the source of all love and light and life. But the holy name of Jesus is the name of a friend, of a son, of somebody who is deeply embedded in his community, and invites the kind of connection that we can have with each other, but more importantly, that we can have with Jesus. When we accept the gift of being able to call God by such a dear name. So when you turn to somebody that you don't know in a moment and simply ask their name, or maybe how did you get your name, or do you like your name? Have you ever thought of changing your name? Whatever you'd like to ask. Think about it in the context of what a special gift it is to connect with each other. We are all made in God's image, and in learning more about each other and in the gift of those intimate connections, we learn more about God. You know, the funny thing about names, though, is they also, in addition to coming with nicknames, they can come to shape us and form us in ways that are positive or negative. For example, not only was I Libby growing up, but my father is the king of nicknames, so I was also Motormouth. You can probably see that still bears some truth. And, you know, I had a lot of other nicknames as a child, and some of them were fun and playful, and others, you know, made me feel a little bit diminished. I think we all have had that experience of nicknames that pull our identity down as opposed to opening us up as God's beloved children. When I worked at the University of Virginia Hospital, I worked for an incredibly brilliant and compassionate and world-renowned hospice physician named Carlos Gomez. He and his family emigrated from Cuba under the Castro regime, and he was an extraordinary MD, PhD who moved the hospice and palliative care movement forward in new ways in tertiary care hospitals in the United States. And his identity as Carlos Gomez, I mean, was so refined, and so he was so sought after on CNN and other programs to teach about end-of-life care that, you know, Carlos Gomez almost was its own monolith of identity. He and some friends, we were all having lunch in the university cafeteria one day, and in the course of the conversation, it came out that when he moved to Georgia around the age of 4 or 5, in order for his family to assimilate, they didn't use any Spanish-sounding names. So he was not Carlos growing up in Georgia, he was Charlie. And Charlie Gomez played football and had all of the riches of a Southern high school experience. It was so incredibly funny to watch all of his colleagues react to the news that, you know, the great Carlos Gomez was Charlie the football player from Georgia, that they started calling him Bubba. So his nickname at the University Hospital for many years was Bubba. And the thing that I love about that is Carlos was thrilled. There was something about being given a nickname that brought with it a sense of intimacy and familiarity and connected back to his roots in a way that the great persona, physician, national figure didn't always have contact with Charlie the football player. Mm-hmm. So it was so interesting how the giving of a nickname in some way brought these two identities closer together for him. We all have the opportunity to think about what we want our identities to be as we move forward into this new year. We are familiar with, you know, in the Catholic Church, people take confirmation names. Sometimes at different points in our lives, we assume other spiritual names for various reasons. On the Holy Land trip, when we had the opportunity to renew our baptismal covenant in the Jordan River, Bishop Gale invited us to think about what our new baptismal name might be. I invite you to do the same this morning, to think about if you had to take a new name, about new baptismal name, confirmation name, new affirmation of your faith name, would you stick with your own? Would you choose the name of a holy man or woman who has been particularly meaningful to you? And what are the qualities of that name, of that person, that you would like to live more deeply into? I chose to take on the name of Ruth, not only because I love the book of Ruth and the extraordinary story of love and faithfulness of Ruth and Naomi, but because my paternal grandmother's name was Ruth, and I wanted to connect more deeply with my heritage in that way. So, a couple things, a couple bits of homework for you. If you don't know much about your name, learn about it. What does it mean? Why were you given it? And how do you relate to your name? Going into the new year, what are the qualities of yourself that you would like to cultivate? Patience, humility, compassion, love, service, whatever it might be. And would you like to reaffirm that by owning your name more deeply? Or by maybe taking on a spiritual name of some kind that can guide you on that path? And then finally, beginning right now, try to learn the name of one new person every day, just for a week. We all encounter new people every single day of our lives. Try to learn the name of one new person and see how God uses that moment of connection and intimacy to enrich your lives. So now, find somebody new to you, learn their name, and a tiny bit about them. Really, this will only take 2 minutes.